Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. That's right, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. This one slipped through the cracks, 106 shows. I haven't covered it. I gotta cover it. Dads, I'm sorry, it's Father's Day. Maybe this isn't the most appropriate show. I'll make it up to you. Snoring. Why snoring? Because I had five people in this week. None of them sleep at night. All of them sit there half the night and listen to their significant other snore in the bed. That's got to stop. Apnea, CPAPs. We've got a whole new industry here. We're always looking for new industries, are we not? Cosmetic dermatology. We just shine those lasers on your warts and brown spots and they disappear. Another one that we've dug up is CPAPs. Get to the website. I've got pictures of the CPAPs. Tough to sleep with those things. Lots of people have to. Or what? They torture themselves all night because the snoring is so bad that it would wake up anybody. So what you do when your snoring hits a certain level of issue is you're waking up all night long and that interrupts your REM sleep. You never feel like you really got your sleep. This can start when you're a baby. This can start when you're really young. And you can have it for years undiagnosed. So over the last few years, we're making this big thing over snoring and apnea. Not everyone that snores has apnea, but just about everyone with apnea snores. So how do you know who you are? Well, that's kind of difficult. But if you snore all night and your significant other, the one that pays the price even more than you, says, gee, you know, I watch you sometimes, honey, when you sleep, and you kind of wake up, but not really, and then you go back to sleep, and you might do this 20 times in an hour or so. Even less, but nonetheless, those interruptions are intense, then that's you, and that's a lot of us. If you don't have apnea, meaning you don't almost wake up, snoring is still an issue, especially for the person listening to it. So what I wanted to do is go into the dynamic of this, because you're hearing a lot of solutions from cutting out the uvula, which is when you open your mouth, and I've got pictures of the uvula on the website, picture number 5. If you're hopefully listening on the web, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, go into the literature section, and look at the pictures as I talk. If you can't, I'll just describe it so you can see it also in your mind. We're cutting out the uvulas. That's when you open your mouth and you look down the throat, that little ding-dong that's hanging right towards the back of the throat. It's called the uvula. Sometimes we cut out the uvula. We take out tonsils. We look for polyps. There's a whole bunch of tissues down the throat that we believe to interfere with the flow of air through the nose or through the mouth. And whether the air is going through the nose or through the mouth, it's going to hit the same place as it goes down towards the lungs. That's what you got to understand. And if you look at the first and second picture, they're side views, or what we call sagittal cuts. Again, this is on the website, straighttalk.cc. Just get to the radio literature section. Just follow the prompts for today's pictures for today's show. Because in picture 1 and 2, and again, once you put your cursor on those pictures, you can blow the picture up just by clicking it. So picture number 1 you can blow up. Picture number 2, just put your cursor on it, click the left button on your computer screen, on your computer, and the picture will blow up. The first two pictures are side views of the oropharynx. Oro meaning oral cavity. Pharynx meaning that area just behind your Adam's apple. So if you open your mouth, the air goes down, and it hits your Adam's apple. That area, from the minute the air goes in, whether it's through the mouth or through the nose, right behind your Adam's apple, that's the oropharynx. And I've got two great pictures you can blow up to see that. So let's look at this area called the oropharynx, because rather than give you all the tributaries from snoring to choking on food to what CPAPs do to neck pain to all the problems that occur when the oropharynx shifts position. Rather than give you all the tributaries of that, I want you to understand snoring, apnea, sleep disturbances from a more fundamental view. Meaning we can talk about some of the topical causes of snoring, or we can understand snoring as a more fundamental issue. And that fundamental issue is as you age for different reasons. And this is not because of aging. But as you age for different reasons, which are 100% preventable, this is what you're not being told, the oropharynx begins to change its position, its shape. So first I want you to see the oropharynx, and then I want you to understand that the oropharynx, that passageway from the nose and mouth down through the throat into the lung or into the stomach, whether you're following the pharynx or the esophagus, whether you're following the esophagus or the bronchioles. Once something's in your mouth, on its way down, it's going to end up, as you know, it's going to end up in the lungs or it's going to end up in the stomach, depending upon where you send it. So snoring begins when that region changes its position. And what do we mean by a change in position? It means, and you can see this on the pictures, your head is changing position. If we look at you at 20 years old from the side, the head is directly on top of the neck, and the head, right down to the middle of your shoulder blades, is kind of a straight line. And as you age, the head comes forward. And as you age, the head comes forward. Over the years, you start to develop what we call anterior head carriage, so that your head may be fully a full 5, 6, 7, 10, 2 inches, 3 inches forward from what it was 40 years earlier. And those gradual shifts change that space. End of show. There it is. If you get that, you got everything. What we're calling snoring, largely, not always, there are exceptions and I'll get into them, but the predominant snoring scenario, the one where you didn't snore and then all of a sudden you did, begins because that head over the decades is coming forward and forward and forward and forward. So if you take a look, hopefully you can, at the sagittal cuts, picture 1 and 2, I want you to follow a piece of food. You're chewing your food and you swallow. And as you swallow, your tongue takes the food down and that food's going to go into your esophagus. From your esophagus, it's going to go into your stomach. Now that esophagus, right in front of that esophagus is the trachea. So when you put your finger on the Adam's apple, that Adam's apple is in a position, it's part of a tubular structure, a cartilage-created tubular structure that's attached to the esophagus. It's both the tube of what we call the pharynx, the trachea, into the bronchioles, follows the esophagus, which is a flat hose. So the pharynx into the trachea, that's where the air goes. The esophagus, which is a very elastic tube, is tied to it. The two run together. And you're seeing that if you're looking at the pictures. If not, you have to imagine that. So you're chewing your food and the food's going down. And at a certain point, you have to cut off the area of the trachea, so the food goes down the esophagus and doesn't go down the trachea. When you choke on food, the process, the mechanism through which we cut off the hole to the trachea, that mechanism somehow goes defunct in that moment. And instead of the food being thrown down the esophagus into the stomach, the food goes down the trachea, and that's when you start choking and coughing, etc. Again, this is so easily viewed if you can look at those pictures, so I hope you can get to the site. If you can't, still use your imagination. You can get this. Food goes down the throat. It should just get guided into the esophagus, down into your stomach. But to do that, something called the epiglottis. It's a little flap. It's a little flap called the epiglottis. Has to cover the opening to the trachea. And if it covers it, the food has to get down the esophagus. If that epiglottis doesn't close, if it gets stuck, if something happens to it, then that food sneaks down, or that liquid sneaks down the trachea, and you start to choke. Your body is sending you a cough reflex to get that food or liquid out of that place it doesn't belong. That space where the epiglottis and the trachea and the esophagus all intersect, that space will become compromised over the years as the head comes forward. If you're looking at somebody at the side, and you can see this clearly from the pictures, if you look at picture number 12 and picture number 13 on the site, picture number 12 is a young woman just sitting in a chair, and you can see that neck is long, it's elegant, and it's straight. She's a young woman, so she hasn't begun to suffer from what the other woman sitting on the next frame. Again, that's frame number 13 now. You can blow that up. You can see real clearly the woman on frame 13. She's sitting there, and for those of you not on the computer, her head is coming way forward. She's a relatively young woman. But as she sits there, that neck is forward. That's how most of us sit at the desk. That's how most of us start to become over the years. And that anterior head carriage is going to change that place where the esophagus and the trachea meet in the oropharynx. That's a very big deal when it comes to snoring. Because what's snoring? Snoring is when air comes in through the nose or air comes in through the mouth. Either way, air comes in through the nose, air comes in through the mouth, and somewhere on the way, that air meets resistance. So snoring is the air during inhalation as you sleep, and that air is buttressing itself up against something, and it's making air noise. And that's what snoring is. And the reason that snoring is so different for so many people, in other words, people belt out different tunes when they snore. People make a variety of noises. And that variety is based upon the fact that that air will meet different types of obstacles. So if someone's got a deviated septum, they've broken their nose. Their nose is crooked. The air through the nose isn't going to go smooth. The air is going to meet that resistance. If someone's got a nasal polyp, that air is going to meet resistance. And as it meets resistance, you'll hear the noise. Not a lot of people, relatively speaking. If you take all the people that snore, all the people that have sleep apnea, and you look at the number of them that are suffering because they have nasal polyps, because they have deviated septums, broken noses, some other structural growth. The uvula, which is that little ding-a-ling I've got pictured there. That uvula maybe is too big for a small oropharynx. Of all the people that suffer from snoring or sleep apnea, the great minority of them have problems like that.